time to talk Cavaliers basketball on WEOL, brought to you by, you know, sometimes at the midpoints of Cavs games, they might have some interesting entertainment, right, while things are going on. So that's what I feel like with that music you're playing there.
Mm-hmm.
Your North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco and also your Tuffy Auto Service Center bringing you our report with the Cavaliers. Good morning, Tim. How are you? Still on the line there with us this morning here?
That is not the music you hear during timeouts at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. I'll just say that.
I'm sure that
it Yeah, we're trying to rev the crowd up at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse.
Sure.
Get them out of their seats. Not close their eyes and take a 3-minute nap.
But I think in my heart, you know, Joe Tate would have loved something like that during the breaks than some of the things that were popping out of the speakers. Is it really called the Humungotron, or is that just something you've given the name to it?
I believe at some point that was the unofficial name given to it.
Okay. It's not like a brand name. I like to get the Humungotron with those giant things. But that's great. How much is that fun, distracting? What is it like to have sort of the big visualization of what you see as well as what you're looking at up on that screen there?
Wow, I don't think I've ever been asked that question before.
Well, there you go.
Well, leave it to you, Bruce. But let's see. No, it's not distracting. When I call a game, it's interesting. I've had different announcers share with me that they actually call the game off the monitor, even when they're sitting in the Joe Tate perch or courtside. I don't. I watch the action on the floor. But the Humungotron is great for replays and if you want to see something back, whatever. It's an unbelievable scoreboard.
Like that Jared Allen dunk on three guys. It was how many? Three guys from all sides?
Yeah, it was Isaac Okoro.
Yeah,
three guys. That was one of the most unbelievable dunks I've ever seen. I mean, to have three guys converge on him. And it was funny. Somebody asked him after the game why he didn't react. He said, "I wasn't sure it went through." I mean, he had a guy coming from each side as well as from behind. And if you look at some of the great pictures that were captured, you can barely see Isaac in there. But somehow he crushed that ball through. It was an unbelievable dunk.
Right. Sometimes you think, do they close their eyes? Just because there are a lot of fingers and hands coming in every different direction. But, that was amazing happening. But and then, of course, he ended up getting under the protocol. And then everybody else follows. Where are we? And let me just use this. I'll use this.
Let them know.
What's going on with the status of our players? How many people are on the bench? What do you know at this point as we speak?
Yeah, unfortunately, the health and safety protocols list for the Cavaliers is a lengthy one. Of course, Isaac Okoro and Evan Mobley were the first to be on that list. And then shortly thereafter, on Sunday, the Cavs announced, or the NBA announced, that five more Cavaliers had tested positive, so they had gone into health and safety protocols. So right now that number stands at seven. NBA rules state that you have to have at a minimum eight healthy bodies to play a game. Now, I know there's conversations going on insofar as a hardship type of rule where the Cavaliers and other NBA teams, this is going through the NBA, will be allowed to sign some replacement players while their guys are in health and safety protocols. So it's the world we live in now, guys, and it's affecting not only the sports world. We've seen it, well, with the Browns last night, the NFL, the NHL, the NBA, and society as a whole. This is the world we live in.
Tim, we've heard over the past week a lot about the NFL and how players sort of get out of COVID protocol. What is it like in the NBA? Are the rules or the protocols the same to get back in action?
I don't have the official contract language right here in front of me, Craig, but I believe you need two negative tests within a 24 or 48-hour period. I believe that's the rule. So if the Cavs just tested positive on Sunday, it's going to be, a while, I'll say that generically, before we see those guys back. And fortunately for the Cavs, in a weird way, this, I don't want to say couldn't have come at a better time, but it came at a time where the Cavs don't have a lot of games scheduled. You have tomorrow night in Boston, and then another few days off, and then the day after Christmas, home to Toronto, and then another couple of days off, and then we go out on the road. So for the Cavaliers, hopefully this won't impact their schedule too much because their games are spread out right now. We don't have any back-to-backs or 3 and 4 days or something like that. So for the Cavaliers, kind of a break insofar as when this happened.
Well, I know that on the game on Saturday, you guys were calling from monitors, right? That was the first indication that things were kind of going slightly sideways on this, I guess.
That's correct. And that was before the five players tested positive on Sunday. But, yeah, the NBA and the Cavaliers, they're working in conjunction with one another. And so the determination was made just for all everybody's health and safety. Let's take the broadcast teams off the road for the foreseeable future. So, you know, how long that's going to last, I don't know. It's I think the wording was until further notice. So, yeah, but at least for Jim and I, guys, it was somewhat familiar territory. We had did this all last year. Every road game was called from monitors. So as soon as I sat down in that chair in the production studio, everything was exactly the same as it was when we finished up the 2021 season.
Tim, what do you think about the travel in the NBA for somebody like yourself who goes to different cities and, you know, you're working late most every night? What is that like for you?
The travel can be grueling. I mean, it depends on, you know, the schedule. But for example, boy, the schedule maker last weekend didn't do the Cavs any favors because they were in Milwaukee. It was a late start for Milwaukee because they had had a back-to-back in New Orleans the night before. So they were starting that at 8 o'clock Milwaukee time, which meant 9 o'clock Eastern time. After the game was over, the Cavs then head to the airport, get on a plane, fly to Atlanta, which is a pretty lengthy flight to begin with. Plus, you lose the hour going back to the Eastern time zone. I think, from what I understand, they arrived in Atlanta at like 3:30 in the morning on Sunday, still thinking at that point they're going to play a basketball game at 7:30 that night. So, believe me, the travel can be challenging, but in the end, it's part of the gig. It's what you do. You know, the one thing you try to do is get naps and sleep during the day because there's some times it really does beat you up as far as getting into a hotel very late / early in the morning, but it's part of what we do, and you just try to adapt to it as best you can.
Talking with Tim Alcorn this morning. So as far as we know, as we speak on this day, we got a game of the Cavs in Boston tomorrow.
That is correct. Okay. Boston played last night. They played Philadelphia. So, you know, they've got a roster that can, you know, they can put together and put on the floor. And for the Cavaliers, they've had a few days now to get ready and perhaps get a couple of more guys in. So as of this morning at 8:15 or whatever time we're at, 8:20, yeah, we're going to play a basketball game tomorrow night up in Boston.
How do you think this downtime has affected the momentum that we were building?
Boy, it's funny you say that. I was talking to Jim Jones yesterday and a couple other people within the organization, and that's a concern because you're playing so well and things were clicking, and you had the momentum that you alluded to, Bruce, and all of a sudden, you know, you hope that doesn't go away. And certainly there were guys who were a part of that aren't going to be playing tomorrow night in Boston. So you hope you don't lose that momentum. But I'll tell you what, this team has encountered every obstacle this year with positive results for the most part. So when they lost Love and Markkanen earlier this year with health and safety protocols, they kept on winning. They've had guys miss games. They kept on winning. So we'll see how they respond tomorrow night in Boston. But certainly it's not going to be the easiest of tasks.
Look forward to the call tomorrow night, Tim. And don't speak till you then. Have a Merry Christmas.
Bruce and Craig and everybody in the WEOL world, a very Merry Christmas to all of you. Have a wonderful holiday season, and hopefully we'll all get through it safely.
Yep. Go Cavs. Thanks for your time, Tim.